thank you. It is such a joy to be here. Before we get started, let's make sure. Can everybody hear me all right? Okay, great. Would you bow your heads with me briefly? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord God, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, it is a joy, and I want to thank Jim for inviting me, and thank you to the committee for inviting me to be here. I tell you, it is always exciting to have an opportunity to share what God has done in my life and to brag on God a little bit in my life. I have been in the ministry now with my husband. My husband is right over here. This is Phil. We've been in the ministry now for 15 years, traveling around the country, sharing our music. My husband is a very gifted songwriter. And so God called us into the ministry about 16 years ago, gradually called us in, and he's been writing music since he was 5 years old on his back porch swing and just pretty much sharing his life experiences into music. And so that's how God called us into this, and I really skirted in on his coattails. Slid in. I love to sing. I remember growing up as a kid and singing Marie Osmond at the top of my lungs in the basement, singing along, Paper Roses and all of those things, Let the World Go Away and all those things. And so it was my dream, but I never dreamed that I would be doing it full time, especially for the Lord. And so I praise God. We were raised in Christian homes, and so I praise God for the foundation in Christ that I had at a very young age. And then Phil and I started dating in high school and got married shortly after I graduated from college and started our ministry a few years after that. And God has shown us all through our lives that he is very present, very present. And prayer has been an important part of our relationship with him. Now, about 10 years ago, our life took a drastic change. We were traveling between a morning and an evening concert, heading towards southern Missouri, when our van veered off the road and slammed into a concrete barrier over the bridge. Now, I was the only one in the vehicle not wearing a seatbelt. Our entire family was in the van. Actually, we have two daughters. My oldest daughter is 15 now, and my youngest daughter is 12 years old. And at the time, they were 5 years old and 21 months. Everyone was buckled in except for me. I was in the back seat with my daughter without a seatbelt on, and I had fallen asleep. And so when our van crashed with the cruise control set at 70 miles an hour, my body shot like a bullet through the rear window of our van and hit the pavement at that speed. Of course, I tumbled and skidded across the highway and then slammed into the concrete barrier over the bridge. Well, you can imagine what my body looked like. But God showed us from the very beginning that he was in control. And I want to share up front that it is our habit, you might say, every time we embark on a new journey, the first thing we do when we get into the van as a family, or if it's just Phil and I, is to pray. And many people, when they hear my story and they hear about this accident that happened, they think, well, God didn't answer your prayer. But indeed, he did. You see, there were four cars following us that Sunday afternoon, and the first car, who was directly behind us and saw the entire thing happen, held a Christian couple. Immediately, they stopped and jumped out to help. The young man ran to the van to get Phil and the girls out. And praise God that my girls were not hurt. And Phil had broken his collarbone from the seatbelt. The young woman, knowing CPR, she ran directly to my side. Now, she could see that I wasn't breathing, but when she saw the severity of my injuries, it stopped her cold in her tracks. Now, keep in mind, it was a hot day that June 4th of the year 2000, and I was wearing a sleeveless sweater and shorts when that accident happened. And so, you can imagine the sight she saw. My left arm was nearly torn from my body. The left side of my face was torn off down to the bone. My ear was torn in two. And I was covered from head to toe in what they call road rash. Now, friends, it was a little more than rash. And so with what I believe was the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, this young woman knew that she couldn't move me in order to administer CPR, which she would have had to have done. So she did the only other thing that she knew how to do. She dropped to her knees and she prayed. And halfway through her prayer, I started to cough and cry and breathe on my own. And by the time that she said amen, car number two had stopped. And it was a nurse running across the road. And right on her heels, cars three and four held a respiratory therapist and an anesthesiologist doctor. Friends, God placed a medical team around me, and a very specific medical team at that, to meet my individual needs. Indeed, our God is great. Indeed, our God is in control. And indeed, he answered our prayer for protection. Now, let me tell you, it was touch and go. I was called in as a fatality. And they didn't expect me to make it at all. They gave me a 2% chance of actually making it from the roadside, and then they life-flighted me up to Research Medical Center in Kansas City. And like I said, it was touch and go. My vital signs, my blood pressure dropped several times, and they prepared my family for the worst, that I wouldn't make it. But after a couple of days, by the grace of God, my vital signs stabilized. My blood pressure stabilized. And then they approached my husband with the news that, yes, I was going to live. But the damage had been done. The worst injury was to my neck. I had crushed four vertebrae, and two of them were completely dislocated. On the MRI scan, you could trace my spinal cord down, and it made two 90-degree turns and appeared pinched off in two areas. Said I would forever be a quadriplegic. It was a permanent condition. There was absolutely no hope that would ever repair itself. There are no cures for spinal cord injuries. Even though they had put me in traction and straightened up my spine at that point, I had no feeling and I had no movement from the chest down, and that included my hands. I had just a little bit of biceps that they were able to get back. But that was it. My life would forever be changed. Well, I praise God that my husband didn't take that lightly, and he sought a second opinion from the great physician. And he immediately prayed and sent out the word on our email newsletter list to about 500 people at that time, who spread the word like wildfire. We got emails back and letters, cards by the trash bag full, back from Guam, Poland, coast to coast, Canada, you name it, that people were praying for my complete healing. Now, first of all, the doctor said if there were going to be any return, any feeling, any movement that would return, it would happen within 72 hours after the accident. 72 hours passed, nothing. 1 week passed, nothing. 2 weeks, nothing. 3 weeks later, my toe twitched just a little bitty bit. In fact, if you blinked, you'd miss it. And doctors said, My doctor said, I don't understand what's going on, but it must be an involuntary muscle movement. And those things do happen with patients that have injuries and have strokes and have neurological dysfunctions. But the next day, when I instructed it to, it moved again. And a couple of weeks later, my knee started to rotate back and forth. I knew that God was doing something. He was at work. And I believed with my heart that he was going to heal me again. But let me tell you, I prayed over and over and over again for that one touch healing. For a one touch complete healing. And friends, every morning when I woke up, I was disappointed. Now, I stand before you this morning as a miracle of God's grace. That indeed, he does work miracles today, but it was a very slow, long process. 4 months after the accident happened, in rehab, I took my very first step, which was very much assisted. It took 3 people to stand me up into position at the parallel bars. And I could advance my left leg by myself, but my right side hadn't woken up yet. And it took another therapist to advance my right leg for me. Now, praise God that in just about 6 weeks later, my right side woke up as well, and I was able to slowly, slowly walk down those parallel bars. 7 months after the accident, which would have been January, I walked in to my neurosurgeon's office with his jaw dropped to the floor to let him know that there is absolutely nothing that is impossible with God. Now, my progress slowed down, but 1 year to the day after the accident, I was able to walk with my husband back into the recording studio in Nashville, Tennessee to begin our ministry again, unassisted. I praise God for that. Indeed, he is a God who still works miracles today. But as you can tell, you may be able to tell that I'm not quite right. Okay, well, I've never been quite right. But physically, I am not quite right. I have a weaker side. My right side is weaker than my left. I deal with constant muscle spasms. I have to take muscle relaxers 3 times a day to keep those under control. I praise God every morning that I can get out of bed and walk across the floor. And let me tell you, many mornings, especially in this part of the country, with our changes in weather, it's difficult and is painful. But remember when I said that I prayed over and over again for that one touch healing, complete healing? God knew better. He knew. Even though I had given my life to Christ, I was still a very stubborn, independent, self-sufficient woman. And even though I had placed him in the driver's seat of my life, I thought I was a pretty good backseat driver. And I wanted to tell him where to go and how to get there. And honestly, if his plans didn't line up into my schedule of convenience, I didn't want to go at all. And so I thank him that he loved me enough to want more for me. Unbeknownst to me, I had spent the first 32 years of my life living on my own strength, my own abilities, my own appearance. This is very important to us women, isn't it? And when all of those were taken away, and sometimes when God allows such cruel, hard things to happen in our lives, it seems cruel. And for a time, it seemed cruel to me. But God knew that if he would have granted that one touch complete healing when I asked for it, I would have gone right back to living the same life I lived before, relying on my own strength, my own abilities. And now, my miracle is really a double miracle. Yes, I have been brought back to my feet as a testament of God's power, that he still works miracles today. But the remaining disability that I have in my life today is like the thorn in Paul's flesh. When he prayed 3 times for that thorn to be removed from him. And God said, in essence, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And friends, every day of my life, I now rely on the strength of my Jesus to get me through every day. And that in itself has brought immeasurable joy. You know, Scripture tells us in James 1, 2, and 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And at first, I argued with God. Hello? Am I supposed to find this pleasurable? But that's not what James is talking about. The joy that he refers to is not happiness. The joy that he refers to is joy that transcends our circumstances. It is not about finding whatever is going on in our lives pleasurable if it's painful. The joy comes when we see God in the midst of our circumstances. When we see Him working. When we feel His comfort that comes through the lives of other people, that comes through reading His Word, that comes through prayer. The comfort of feeling our Jesus wrap His arms around us and say, "It's okay, I'm here." But you know what? That's a hard lesson to learn. And if we are stubborn, independent, self-sufficient people, just like I used to be. Well, okay. I'm a work in progress. I still am. I still struggle. But early on, God started showing me that He understood exactly how I felt. I was away from home for 3 months. Now, keep in mind, my girls were little. Very small, 5 years old and 21 months. Actually, Alicia, she turned 2 3 days after I came home. And we put Kayla, our oldest, on the kindergarten bus the following week. And I didn't quite understand why, at this point in my life, why God would allow this to happen in my life. And so being away from them for 3 months, I think, was the worst pain that a mother could endure. But the day that I went home, the day I dreamed about, home sweet home was no longer sweet. At least not with me there. Everything was different. Everything was, including myself. I couldn't do anything for myself. I had very slight trace movement in my lower extremities. Nothing that was functional. I couldn't get myself in or out of the wheelchair by myself, and once I was in it, I couldn't roll myself around. I didn't have the upper body strength. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't dress myself. I couldn't bathe myself. Girls, I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself. And then there were my girls. How was I supposed to take care of them? I think the worst part of the whole thing was being trapped in that wheelchair, feeling like I was imprisoned in my body. Because when one of them would laugh or cry in another part of the house, I was unable to jump up and run to see what was going on. And then I couldn't even wrap my arms around them and pick them up and hold them close to me. And facing day in and day out the realities of my inabilities finally built to a breaking point. About 6 weeks after my homecoming, I was sitting in my wheelchair in the middle of our kitchen, and I remember it so well. I was staring at the refrigerator door in frustration because I was thirsty. And yet, I realized that I was unable to get myself anything to drink. And as if on cue, my youngest, who was then 2, and she runs in right in front of me with her curly little head and over to that refrigerator door. She grabs the handle with her strong little fingers. She pulls it open, grabs her tippy cup of milk, and heads out on her merry little way. And as that door slammed shut behind her, it was as if I could hear the enemy taunting me. Look what she can do, and you can't. Well, that was it. I had had enough. And I cried out to my Lord and my Savior and my friend, Jesus, I know that part of the reason that you came down from heaven to walk this earth as a common man is so that you could experience everything that I could possibly ever go through. And then when I reached that same spot in the road, you could comfort me. And I desperately need your comfort right now. But I can't recall a single time in Scripture when you were ever in a wheelchair. I remember very well when you healed the lame, but I don't recall you ever being lame yourself. So how can you possibly understand what I'm going through? I can't even get myself a drink of water. And friends, it was as if I could feel the arms of Jesus wrap around me and hear his voice echo through my mind as he spoke the words he said on the cross. I thirst, he said. And yet he was unable to get himself anything to drink. And I realized at that moment that he was paralyzed to the cross. But it wasn't by the nails. Because you and I both know that if he would have said the word, legions of angels would have loved to have delivered him. It wasn't the nails that held him there. It was his love for me. Not only did he know that it was the only way that this stubborn, independent, self-sufficient woman could ever spend eternity with him, but I believe with everything that I am, that he looked forward in time 2,000 years to see me sitting in that wheelchair, broken and bound and desperate to know that he had been there too. Friends, I don't know what it is that you might be going through today. In a room this size, and with everything we hear on the news that's going on globally, that's going on in the community, in the economy. As Phil and I travel around the country, I think our favorite thing is to listen, is to meet so many people and to hear their stories. And also to wrap our arms around them and hold them as they cry and share just the devastating circumstances that are going on all around us. Wherever you are, we believe, I believe, that God has arranged all these circumstances, even meeting Jim last fall, to bring me here today, to let you, to share my story, and to let you know that I'm nothing special. If God can do it in my life, he can do it in yours as well. God is there for us. He can take away and give us, work his miraculous working power and deliver us out of circumstances. And you know, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to see the big picture of how many times he did just that, that we had no idea. But I also believe that he wants to let you know that whatever it is you might be dealing with, that he said, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to answer your prayer the way you want right now because I love you enough. I want more for you. I want you to know me. I want you to depend on my strength. So wherever you are today, please know that God's grace is sufficient, that his power is made perfect in our weakness. We don't have to have it all together. We don't have to have it all together. All you have to do is cling to Christ. I want to go to prayer. I want us to bow our heads in prayer here. And if you have never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to do that today. Please. We don't know what's going to happen when we walk through those doors. I had no idea when I got in the van 10 years ago that my life would be in the balance on the roadside. It can happen in the blink of an eye. Our lives can change in the blink of an eye. And we cannot afford to go through this life without the strength of Jesus with us all the way. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing me here today. I thank you so much for the opportunity to share what you have done in my life. And as I look across this room full of people that you adore and love and died for, Father, I know that there is a lot of suffering in this room. Circumstances that I will never know. And Father, I just pray that if there is even just one who has never made that commitment to serve you, Lord, I pray that they will make that choice to start a relationship with you this morning. All we have to do, Lord, we do that all together. Even those of us who have been walking this journey with you for maybe years now, we want to commit our life to you one more time. Today, start anew. It's a new journey. You give us new mercies every morning, Lord. So, Father, we lay our weakness at your feet. And we recognize that we are nothing without you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for trying to do it on our own. And Lord, we just make this commitment to you. We trust you. We believe in you and your sacrifice for us on the cross 2,000 years ago that actually we're about to celebrate at Easter this weekend. And so, Father, we cling to you. And we ask for your guidance, for your protection, for your mercy as we go from this place, Lord, and help us to be a beacon of light for you, that even though our vessels may be broken, that, Lord, help us to realize and trust that when you put the pieces of our broken lives back together, you may still leave some cracks there within our vessels, Lord. But those cracks are for a very important purpose, and that is to let your light shine through. We love you, Lord. And I thank you for all that you're doing, and all that you've done, and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.